Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. We are currently in the midst of a detailed study of Matthew chapter 24, which focuses on the events which will take place in the last days. Thus far, we have looked at the context of this chapter, as well as looking at the destruction of the temple predicted by Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 2. Today, we'll focus on verse 3 and try and understand the mindset of the disciples when they heard the prediction of the temple, and to understand why they asked these questions recorded in verse 3, which says, "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" So when they heard about the destruction of the temple, it immediately brought to their mind that this must be the end of the age, the last day's events, the culmination of all things. And so they asked, when's this going to take place and what sign is going to be given so we could know that the end of the age is upon us? And what I want to try and do today is analyze that. Why did the disciples associate the destruction of the temple with the last day's events? So our study today will focus on three things: the question of when will these things be, also the sign of your coming, and what is the end of the age. So let's look at this question of when will these things be. Now, the reason disciples asked about the timing of this event is due to the fact that they had the following scenario in their mind as what was going to happen in the last days. I'd like to try and summarize that in 9 steps or 9 phases. Now, I'm not saying that disciples had these exactly in their mind, but this is the basic understanding that the Jews of that day had in relationship to the last day's events. The 9 phases are as follows. 1, the coming of Messiah would be preceded by a time of great tribulation. 2, an Elijah-like forerunner would herald the way of the Messiah, which they saw as being fulfilled in John the Baptist. 3, the appearance of the Messiah. He'd show up on the scene. He'd be there physically. 4, an alliance of nations to fight against the Messiah. So they saw a battle would take place to fight against the authority of the Messiah. 5, the destruction of the opposing nations. The Messiah would obviously win this battle. 6, the restoration of Jerusalem. And some either saw this as a renovation because the city itself would have been destroyed in this battle that the Messiah was involved in, while others saw that the New Jerusalem would actually come down from heaven. 7, after that, the Jews scattered in all the world would be regathered there to that renovated Jerusalem. 8, Jerusalem would become the center of the world with all the nations subject to the Lord. And then 9, this would usher in this new age of peace, righteousness, and divine glory. And in our list here, the disciples would have thought that Jesus was talking about stage 6, or the restoration of Jerusalem. The Jews of that day were looking for the Messiah to come and purify Jerusalem, and they saw this as a sign of his victory and his conquest. And at this point, the nation of Israel would be restored, and the Messiah's rule would begin to reign on the earth. I think by understanding the mindset of the Jews of that day helps us understand why they asked these questions when they heard about the destruction of the temple, that drove their thoughts immediately to the events of the last days. Now, the second question that they asked was, what would be the sign of your coming? And what they were expecting is that there'd be some sort of miraculous or glorious sign which would indicate the presence of the Messiah, and that he was about to set up his kingdom. Now, I'm not sure, but this may be one of the temptations that Jesus went through in Matthew chapter 4. Remember when Satan brought him up to the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, "Cast yourself off the pinnacle of the temple. The angels will come bear you up. Then all the people would receive you then at that point as a Messiah." So the Jews were looking for some sort of miraculous, glorious sign which would indicate that the kingdom of the Messiah would be here. Now also in verse 3, it says, "And what will be the sign of your coming?" Now, they didn't understand at all that there was going to be a second coming. So the word coming here is the Greek term parousia, which means the presence or a full manifestation of the Messiah in all of his glory and all of his authority, his righteousness, and him ruling as a king on the throne of David. And when the Jews heard about the destruction of the temple, their minds were brought to the idea that Christ was now going to make himself fully known as the Messiah and bring in his authority and his kingdom. Then it also mentions the end of the age. Now, the word end is not talking about the last day, but the term is soontelia, which refers to a completion or a culmination after a series of events. They were expecting the Lord at this point to do specific things and then manifest himself in his full glory and authority as a Messiah. And they were probably expecting that to take place very quickly, maybe even during the time of the Passover. And that's where verse 4 picks it up, where the Lord's going to say, it's not going to happen soon. All these other events are going to take place before I set up or establish my kingdom. For the rest of our time today, I'd like to look at other scriptures which help us get an understanding of what was in the heart and mind of the disciples. They're expecting the Lord not to leave and come back, but to establish his kingdom with authority and with greatness. And Luke chapter 19, verse 11 is an important passage of scripture which reads this way. It says, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. And the setting of this verse is that in Luke chapter 18, he just healed a man who had been blind and he recovered his sight. And then in verse 10 of Luke 19, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So when they started seeing this power, this healing ministry, and the mercy of Christ, they thought the kingdom of God was going to be established right at that point. So he had to tell them a parable which spoke about the fact that the kingdom was not going to be established immediately, but there was going to be a time delay. Because Luke 19 at verse 28 picks up the triumphal entry. So there was this expectation that Christ was Messiah, he was going to Jerusalem, and he's going to establish the kingdom. Even after the resurrection, as recorded in Acts chapter 1, where the Lord appeared to them, and he said this to them in verses 4 and 5, so then being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then verse 6 is crucial to help us understand the mindset of the disciples. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So when they heard about the power of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they thought, oh, this must be the point at which the kingdom is going to be established. They were looking for the Messiah to come in great victory, squash the head of their enemy, and establish his kingdom with authority. That's why we find in Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord began to tell them that he was going to suffer and die, the disciples couldn't handle it. Listen to what it says in Matthew 16, verse 21 and following. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then he goes immediately in verse 24, and it says, he said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So the disciples, their mindset was not of a suffering Messiah, not one of them having to take up their cross and follow the Lord. Remember, they asked the Lord at one point, they said, Lord, we have forsaken all. What are we going to get because of that? So their mind was on an earthly kingdom, Israel being restored to that place of prominence, and they saw the destruction of the temple as an indication that that was going to take place very soon. Matthew 24 was spoken to show the kingdom of God's not going to be established immediately. There's all these other signs and events that are going to take place before that takes place. A few Old Testament passages of scripture that the Jews may have had in mind in thinking that the kingdom of God was about to be established are as follows. Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2, which says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. So when they saw the healing ministry of Christ and the mercy of Christ coming, they say, this must be the Messiah. This must be the fulfillment. And he's going to establish that kingdom, that acceptable year of the Lord, as well as the day of vengeance. He's going to bring his judgment upon our enemies. Also that very familiar passage, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, which says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's what the Jews were expecting, the Messiah to come and a government to be established upon his shoulder, which would be in righteousness and joy and in peace. Also in that prophetic passage in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, there were things predicted that were going to take place through the reign of the Messiah, which are as follows, as Daniel 9:24 reads, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, which is probably a reference to the holies of holies, or there'd be a purification or a cleansing. So they were expecting for this righteous kingdom to be established. That's what they were looking for, predicted in the Old Testament. But the Lord's plan was obviously different. He was going to come in and die, suffer, be humiliated, be beaten, and then eventually die on that cross and raise from the dead. The disciples had no ability at that point to understand that the Lord's coming was actually going to be in two phases. One, to suffer, to be that suffering servant. And the second coming is when he comes back and rules and reigns as the Messiah. the Jews, they put those two comings together, and that's why they asked in verse 3, and what will be the sign of your coming? As he was standing there, they expected his coming to be his full presence of glory, manifesting the kingdom with authority, squashing the head of their enemy, and establishing his kingdom. Tomorrow, when we pick it up at verse 4, the Lord's going to show that his coming is not going to be immediately. There's going to be a series of signs that they could watch for that would indicate that his kingdom is about to be established. And we'll pick up at verse 4 in our study tomorrow, start looking at the signs of his coming. If we can help you in your study of the Bible in any way, we encourage you to contact us at our new toll-free number, which is 1-877-941-LAMB. You'd be able to order a copy of this tape as well as the tape for all this week, as well as previous studies that we've done here on Solid Ground. I'd also like to recommend to you the correspondence courses that we offer through our Bible Ministry School. We have classes in theology and doctrine, as well as in books of the Bible, as well as in practical ministry. You can contact us at that same number if you'd like us to send out a catalog to you. Or you could register online at our website, which is at www.calvarylm.org.